So before I begin this Parsha series, I want to explain why I chose to learn the Parsha from the Sefer Tzenorena. To me, the Sefer Tzenorena is one of the most valuable books from our Jewish history. It was the cornerstone of religious life for women in Europe from the early 17th century until the Holocaust. It had over 250 reprints, and it was found from Western Europe to Eastern Europe. It's also one of the most misunderstood texts and a misunderstanding of the role of women and the expectation for women's literacy before the era of the Beis Yaakov. As long as women don't know what is in this Sefer, we cannot appreciate our history or respect the women who learned from it and from whom we are descended. I remember learning that before Beis Yaakov, women only learned Tzenorena. My assumption was, as is shared by every single man and woman I have ever spoken to about the topic, that the Tzenorena was a storybook full of emotional scenes, fiery mishalim, and fantastic midrashim. After all, in the days before formal Jewish girls' education, this was a sefer learned by the shtetl's women. What else would they appreciate if not stories? I remember hearing that the women of the village would gather on Shabbos afternoon to listen to the one literate woman who could read in the village, to read from the portion on that week's parsha to her illiterate friends. Surely in the generation before Beis Yaakov, what she read was simplistic. Hear how the Sefer is described on Wikipedia. The Tzenorena mixes biblical passages with teachings from Judaism's oral Torah, such as the Talmud's Agada and Midrash, which are sometimes called parables, allegories, short stories, anecdotes, legends, and admonitions, according to secular writers. Having an image of the Tzenorena as a book of stories was to my advantage. If I assume that women do not grow in their Torah knowledge, the pressure on me to learn remains very low. If my great-great-great-grandmother read stories on Shabbos, then what she read had no relevance to me, an educative product of many years of Torah education, who already knows these stories from my time in kindergarten. If I while away my hours on Shabbos afternoon, how bad can it be? I'm also reading stories just in a different format than my great-grandmother did. I maintained this impression for many years until I began my search for what life was like before the Haskalah and also before the Beis Yaakov movement. When I finally found the Sefer, which was hard to find, I was quite surprised. The Tzenorena, written in the early 17th century, had few stories. It is quote after quote from Rabbeinu Bechaye, Rashi, Ramban, Toldos Yitzchak, with some Medrash Rabbana and Yalkut Shimoni thrown in. There are essays on the dangers of alcoholism and discussions about the uselessness of materialism. The fiery mishalim I had heard described are direct quotes from Rabbeinu Bechaye, a Rishon from the 13th century. Those who are describing the Sefer and cherry-picking quotes to show how it really was superficial are demeaning quotes from Chazal. I looked through multiple parshios looking for these stories, and there were none. The closest thing to a story was a Gadata from the Gemara, which we respect. There are philosophical discussions. For example, the Tzenorena was not content to discuss what Hashem created on the second day of creation. It discusses how Machlokas manifests in the creation of the world and its implications for our life. Instead of finding allegories, I discovered a text that was more reminiscent of the art scroll stone Chumash than touched by a story. Parshas Bahaloscha, as one example, spans 22 pages in the art scroll translation of the Tzenorena. On the first 8 pages alone, I found quotes from 14 Rabbeinu Bechayes, 13 Rashis, 5 Cheskunis, 1 Balaturim, 1 Gemara, and 1 Ibn Ezra, among other miscellaneous sources. The myth of the shtetl Babi, reading a simplified summary of the story of the Chumash, was shattered after I read the translation of the Tzenorena. She was just not reviewing Parsha questions like my second grader. In the place of this image came a picture of a Jewish woman who was conversant in her Jewish life with an awareness of what were the moral and philosophical implications of the Parsha. She would have been very comfortable in any of the low-key Parsha Shirim I have attended over the years. True, there was no analysis of the opinions of the Rishonim like I enjoyed in seminary, but the breadth of information was astounding. The Tzenorena quotes many different sources, some directly, some as summary, to explain the highlights of the Parsha. By reading the Parsha and the Tzenorena, one would become familiar with Gemara, Agadata, Midrashim, Rishonim, and early Achronim. It is important to look at what is missing from the Sefer as much as what is there. The Sefer does not tell the story of the Parsha. It assumes the reader has that knowledge already. It only quotes a few words from the Pasuk at a time before quoting the commentaries at length in Yiddish. A woman who did not know the text of the Chumash would not understand the ideas being quoted. There are other instances where it assumes knowledge. In Parshas Korach, for example, it references the Midrash of the wife of On ben Peles, but it doesn't actually tell us the story of On Ben Peles and his wife. It just mentions, this is alluded to the Medrash of On Ben Peles. What is missing from the text tells us a lot about the women who preceded us and the expectation for what they knew, even without a formal education. I now understand a letter written by the Chafetz Chaim. The Chafetz Chaim connects the necessity to start Beis Yaakov to an unwelcome change that had taken hold in Europe. And this is quoted in the Shvili HaChinuch, page 35. It is a great and necessary matter in these days in which the stream of heresy, Rahman al-Islam, prevails in all its attacks, because our generation is not like earlier generations. In earlier generations, in each Jewish home, there was the tradition of the fathers and mothers to go in the way of the Torah and religion and to read from the Sefer Tzena Urena every Shabbos Kodesh. The Chafetz Chaim Zatzal valued that the women made it a priority to learn the words of the Rishonim as quoted in the precious Sefer Tzena Urena week after week. He connected the decline in children's faith and observance to the lack of this learning in the mothers' lives. Other leaders bemoaned the change in culture as well. They said how in the past, women would not leave their houses on Shabbos afternoon until they finished learning the Parsha with Tzena Urena. Shabbos was devoted to this learning. In the later generations, girls would read Parsha summaries and then head out the door. When I tried to read the entire Parsha with Tzena Urena, it took me over an hour. This was not a trivial task. Dr. Morris Feierstein, an academic, discusses the history of Tzena Urena in an article he authored. He points out that contrary to the assumption that this sefer was written for women, this sefer was written for anyone who could read Yiddish, men or women, young or old. The Taz, in fact, mentions that it could be used for the halachic obligation of men to review the text of the Parsha each week as an alternative for those who cannot understand Unklus or Rashi, which is the mitzvah only for men, Shnai Mikra Ve'echa Targum. The format of the work was similar to other Sfarma of the time, so it wasn't a book that was formulated only for women. Dr. Feierstein presents a theory as to why the Tzena Urena has a reputation as being a book of stories for uneducated women. He theorizes, based on other scholars, that in the early 19th century, German Jewish academics began to demean Yiddish as a suitable language of learning, much like some people sometimes demean the art scroll and say, oh, they only read about it in the art scroll, when in fact it has a high level of scholarship that goes into creating it. They began a campaign against learning Sfarim in Yiddish. At the same time, the Haskalah was mocking Yiddish Sfarim and promoted Hebrew as the only worthy language in which to learn. The Tzena Urena, being the Yiddish sefer in every single home, would have been a prime target to be mocked and derided. In addition, different groups changed the text of Tzena Urena to suit their needs throughout the 19th century. Some of the changes were linguistic, as Western Yiddish gave way to Eastern European Yiddish. Formal Yiddish writing changed to reflect modern Yiddish speech. Other changes were in the text itself. The Maskilim added their own philosophy into the text of the Sefer, removed ideas they found objectionable, and replaced the classic translation into Yiddish with the translation of Mendelssohn, the father of the Reform movement. They then published their version as an authentic Tzena Urena under the same name. The Hasidim, fighting the Maskilim, republished the Sefer, carefully editing out any of the modern changes. Though we can't definitively state the reason, we know that by the time of the Chafetz Chaim, women had stopped learning and sharing the Tzena Urena. In so many ways, the Haskalah put an end to women receiving guidance on how to live a Torah life and the expectation that the life of every Jewish woman should be linked to the Parsha throughout their life. Sara Schneer came and created the Beis Yaakov movement to provide the guidance that once came from the Tzena Urena. What has filled the gap nowadays for adult women? Women 300 years ago did not read the Tzena Urena because they lacked a second-grade education. They read the Tzena Urena because it directed their lives as they matured and had new life experiences. Nowadays, there are more Shiurim articles and Sfarim geared for women that provide learning and guidance to women. However, there is no universal sefer that creates a communal expectation for growth and values. There is no expectation that women are holding with the Parsha like the Tzena Urena did. The Tzena Urena is full of clearly stated ideas quoted from our Mesorah, our tradition, with strong messages and clear guidance. It was rather sad to read the history of the Sefer. Those who hate Torah degraded the Tzena Urena, the mainstay for so many generations. They stole its name to promote their own ideas, and until today, we are left with the misconception promoted back then. The Sefer has been so abandoned that it is impossible to find an original copy in a modern bookstore. There are English editions, but they are heavily edited from the original text. I could only find the Hebrew version online in the Otor HaChachma online database. The Yiddish copies are sold in Israel, but not in the largest bookstores in Brooklyn or Baltimore. To me, Sfarim have personalities. After hearing the sad story of the Tzena Orena, how she was so loved and so popular, and then has been abandoned, misunderstood, and misrepresented, in my mind, I imagine her as a poor old widow living alone in a decrepit apartment with no one visiting. She shivers and cries over her past, remembering her glory days and all of her beautiful children and friends, and no one even knows she's there. Those who see her assume she is foolish and treat her with disrespect. I want to change that narrative and give the Sefer back the respect it deserves. My goal for the podcast will be to discuss a few ideas from the Tzena Orena so that we can appreciate some of its wisdom. I won't be able to talk about the whole Parsha. Parshas Bereishis is 47 pages long. If I discuss one or two pages, I feel we will be on the way to appreciating the Sefer for what it holds. As women, I also want us to connect back to our great-grandmothers who looked to the text of the Torah, Chazal, and Rishonim to guide their lives and who lived their lives based on the rhythms of the Parsha. I want us to have higher expectation for ourselves and connect us to that beautiful tradition where Chumash and Parsha are not just subjects in school to merely think about, but ideas that touch our hearts and our souls and obligate us to learn. I want us to think about how to uplift our Shabbos through Torah study and connect ourselves to the Parsha in as pleasant and nurturing a form as possible. I hope you will join me on this journey as we look for how the lessons of Chazal and Rishonim quoted by the Tzena Orena are relevant to our lives.